Good morning. Good morning. There we go. Glad to see you all this morning. Glad you're able to be with us. And for most of you this morning, I'd like to say welcome back. Some of you have been away for some time. Some of you it's just been a few days. But welcome back. And if you're a visitor this morning, you'll see things. This is the 85th anniversary of the Lord's Church at Central here in Johnson City. You picked a really excellent day to come visit us. We have a meal plan for downstairs, and the provisions are taken care of. So if you didn't bring anything, that's perfectly fine. Please feel free to join us in our fellowship meal today. So welcome back. Also, a couple of things that are a little bit different today is that the Hispanic ministry and congregation are joining us in today's services. So you'll see an effort with the slides to provide not only English, but Spanish. And our translator is in a nearby booth, Rudy, and he's going to be providing that through iPhones and smartphones. So those things will be going on simultaneously. The songs that have been selected this morning should be ones that we're substantially familiar with. So we're looking forward to this joint service. Glad that you all could be here today. I'll be reading from the King James in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in just a minute. And the reason I'm going to do that is to remind us of the greater homecoming that's coming in the after while. Today's a taste of what's in store for those who are in true fellowship. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verses 16. I'll be reading from the King James. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let's enter into worship.
Good morning. If convenient, please stand and join me in singing our first hymn, hymn number 878. There.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Our next hymn would be hymn number 147. 147.
I stand.
Before we go to the Lord in prayer, we'll be singing hymn number 67. 67.
Thank you.
We're so glad to be part of this Sunday worship morning with you all. It's my first time doing this, so I'm so excited. I just want to read something first before the initial prayer, if you allow me. It's in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. And Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female," and I will add, with the permission of God, "there's no Hispanic and nor American. There's neither Hispanic nor American, for you all are one in Christ Jesus." So with the eyes, with our physical eyes, we can see many differences, many distinctions, differences in our origins. We can be separated via languages. And we can see also differences in our color skin, color of our hair, or color of our eyes. But with the spiritual eyes, we see no difference at all, because in Christ, we are all just one. And when you see me, or when I see you, I can only see the skin of the lamb in which you are dressed up. So that's the spiritual eyes, the eyes of love that Jesus calls to see each other. And the, what I can feel since this first day I put a step in this church is the love that you always show each other and always have for every one of us. And we are today celebrating 85 years, right? 85 years of being the light and the salt of Johnson City, and we are so glad to be part of it. So let's pray and celebrate this day with joy in our hearts. I invite you to follow this prayer with me this morning. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, again for the life you are giving us this life, this day. Te damos muchas gracias, Señor Dios y Padre, por el día que tú nos diste esta mañana. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come and worship you, because we understand that we are called to worship. We are created to glorify your name. Somos bendecidos de venir esta mañana a adorar tu nombre, porque entendemos que hemos sido llamados y creados para la alabanza de tu gloria. So this morning, Lord, please receive our worship. Receive, Lord, what we offer to you as a response of gratitude for all you have done for us. Así que reciba esta mañana, Señor, nuestra adoración, que es una respuesta de gratitud a todo lo que tú has hecho por nosotros. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and we pray, amen. En nombre de Jesús oramos, amén y amén.
Before we have the scripture reading in today's lesson, we'll be singing hymn number 539. 539. I'm trusting God.
Good morning. There will be children's training class if you wish to go. The scripture reading this morning will be from John 14, verses 1 through 6. John 14, 1 through 6. I'll be reading from the ESV. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Today, as you have heard, is a special day. And among us, there are many that I would call VIPs. But let's begin by acknowledging the VIP, the Lord Himself. God is with us as His people. We are always blessed with His presence. When we come together to worship Him in spirit and truth, we know that He is among us. Our eyes don't see that. Our ears don't hear His voice, but we know that the Lord is among us. And we want to honor the Lord above anything else that we do here today. May He be glorified in all that we say and do. But we're glad you're with us today. We've got a lot of special guests, and I want to go through a few of those that are with us, and I know I'm going to leave somebody out, so I'll ask for your forgiveness up front. But I do want to begin by welcoming our Hispanic brethren. We are so glad that you're joining us for our worship and hope that you find this a time of benefit, a blessing. And we want to thank Rudy Rodriguez over here in the room next door who is translating what I say to them. Is it working? Is he doing a good job? Okay. Not getting a lot of responses, but... We trust Rudy is doing a good job on that. But we're very glad, and thank you, Hugo, for the good things you said before you led the prayer. That was very fitting and very appropriate. But others that are with us today, we're thinking about the beginning of this church, this congregation. Of course, the beginning of the church was a long time ago, back in about 33 AD, thereabouts. But the beginning of this congregation was in 1940, and there are people with us today who have a real close attachment to those earliest days. For example, we have out on the wall back there the names of elders who have served this congregation. And there is the name, I think the very first name there is E.E. Archer. He was one of our elders. I knew three of his sons, I knew his daughter. You knew Grace Muse. Many of us here remember Grace Muse very well. Kenneth, Fred Archer, I knew Paul Archer. But some of those grandchildren of that first, one of the first elders are with us today. In fact, one of the great-grandsons flew all the way from Seattle to be here today for this event. Is that not something wonderful? And if you want to say hi to Jason, he's sitting right there beside his mama, Cheryl Chernesky, and Jason, thanks for coming all the way out from Seattle. And then, of course, we've got others who have very close connections. Walter and Mary Pugh were very early in the history of Central. They're both gone now, but we have two of their children who are in the congregation here, Meredith Pugh and Meredith Brewer and Joe Pugh. And then Christina Elliott, who is probably watching us online right now, the three children of Walter and Mary Pugh. Nell Phillips was a very early member of the congregation, and she is represented here today by Kathy Torgerson. Kathy doesn't go all the way back to 1940, I don't think. But as a young child, she was there. And Margaret, sitting beside her, this is Margaret Phillips, Kathy's sister-in-law, but more importantly, I guess, Jean Arrowood's daughter. She grew up, and Jean himself was one of the very early members, not at the beginning, but he was there as well. And then is Sarah, yeah, Sarah is with us today. Sarah Buer, raise your hand back there, Sarah. Sarah is the only one we know of who was actually present at the beginning of the church at Central. She was not a member of the church at that time. She was too young. She was only 6 years old, she says. But she, to the best that we know, is the only one that can say, I was there. And she has a lot of memories. I enjoyed spending some time with her last week talking about some of those memories. And we want to encourage all of you to go downstairs and look at the displays that Catherine Albertson has prepared. There's lots of albums, there's lots of photos, all kinds of things to show you where we have come from. Oh, one other one that I need to mention was Wade Kegley Sr. was a very important part of the church from the beginning. And he's represented here by some, like Sheila McNabb is a granddaughter, Gary Jackson is a grandson, and Carlene Bannister, she's not able to be with us, a granddaughter. There's a lot of connections, and I'm not even getting into some of the great-grandchildren that are here among us, but these people thought big and were thankful that they did. They stepped out of a church that was teaching false doctrine, and they said, we want to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness and according to the truth, and that's what Central is built on, and so we're very thankful that the Lord has blessed us. Carol Jarrett, I didn't see you back there earlier. Carol, also a daughter, a granddaughter of E.E. Archer. But we're just so thankful. Lou Ann Hallman, another granddaughter of E.E. Archer. Have I left out anybody? You're going to get really angry with me, I know. I'm sorry if I left out anybody. But we'll just go around the room. Everybody say who they are. And okay, we won't do that. But thank you for being here today. Some of you are visiting. The Moffitt family, a very strong part of our church several years ago, now living in Knoxville and other places. They're all here today, Ken and Judy, their sons Bart and Nat, and their families. And they say this is the first time we've all been together in a long time, so you need to come back here more often. Sherilyn and Harrison Morgan are here with Ella Rose, and really good to have them back with us again. Lynn Chisholm, who is now a member at Cherokee, but was a part of the Central Congregation way back, and probably others that I have not yet seen or identified. But we're so glad that you are here with us today. And we'd encourage you to stay afterward for our meal that we're having afterwards. Dan's already invited you. Please, come down and join us. That'll give us more time to talk. We'll do some handshaking and maybe a hug here and there and a lot of smiling and a lot of good eating. So come down and join us for that meal that will follow if the preacher ever gets through talking. And also tonight, 6 o'clock, come out and join us for worship. Greg Ryan is going to be preaching then. So come and worship God again with us, and let's make sure we remember above anything else, this is the Lord's Day. This is the Lord's Day. Let's honor him in all that we do, all that we say today and every day this week, but especially on the Lord's Day. Let's get our Bibles out now. Let's go to the Word of God and continue our worship of God by hearing from his Word and then molding our lives according to that Word. Do you know the difference between a hope and a wish? Do you know the difference between hoping and wishing? All of you who are students, and all of you that have been students, you know this. At the beginning of a term, you're thinking, boy, I really want to have a good grade by the time this is over. But at the end of the term, was that only a wish? Or was that a strong enough hope that you actually put in the time to learn what the teacher was teaching. And time will tell whether you had a wish or a hope. And what grade will each of us receive when we come to the end of life? Now, it's not stated that way exactly in the Bible, but we're going to be judged at the end of our lives, on the judgment day. Will we pass or will we fail? And I think all of us here would say, well, I really want to be in heaven. That sounds like such a great place. I really want to be there. But are we wishing that? Or is that a hope that is so strong that we're going to follow through and actually do what the Lord calls on us to do? And so that's the idea that we're going to talk about today, is hoping for a homecoming. In 2025, we're talking about hope that motivates. Every first Sunday of the month, we are talking about hope that motivates. And today, since this is homecoming, it seems very appropriate to talk about hoping for a homecoming. Not today, not the activities of this day, but something far greater, far better than we've ever known on this earth. So let's go to the Word of God. I want you to turn with me in your Bible to the passages that we're going to see listed on the screen, and I hope you'll read with me. I mean, I'll be reading it out loud. I hope you'll follow along, and let's make sure that everything we believe and practice is according to God's Word. So first of all, let's talk about that promise of a great homecoming for God's people. The promise of a great homecoming for God's people. Have you ever noticed that life on earth is not always completely satisfying? You know, it may be that way with a lot of things that we've already experienced. Maybe we've really been looking forward to going to a movie, and yet we see the movie and we say, wow, that was a disappointment. It wasn't anything like I thought it would be. Or maybe we are planning to go to a game, a ball game of one kind or another, and we think this is going to be a great battle, and then one side just blows out the other one. It's not even close. And you say, wow, that was a big disappointment. Well, is life that way for us? Can it be that way where we say, really, is this all there is? Or is there something more that we could have? The idea can be found in the Bible. Look in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 2 through 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And as you know, Solomon is the author of this book. And Solomon is one of the richest and maybe the richest king of Israel. He had everything he could have desired, and he talks about that in this book. But listen to how he opens the book in Ecclesiastes 1, verses 2 through 4. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. And you can almost hear Solomon sighing when he writes those words. He says, what do I have? I mean, I've got all the money I could ever hope to have. I've got servants. I've got beautiful gardens. I've got this amazing palace in which I live. But what is it? It's all going to be gone for me in a matter of years. What is life? Vanity of vanities. And we might say, how empty life can be. We also find that idea found in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, and there the writer puts it this way, Hebrews 13 and verse 14. Here on earth, that is, he's talking about, here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Now you could go to a lot of places on earth where that literally is true. Cities that once were glorious. They were amazing in the buildings they had, the streets, the landscaping, and then war broke out and bombs were dropped and explosions took away all the buildings and all the beautiful trees and it's gone. And the writer here is saying, we don't have anything that will last on this earth. So what do? Do we just give up and say, well, okay, let's just enjoy what we've got now? No, listen to what he says. We are seeking a lasting city. We're seeking a heavenly city, one that is to come. And so again, the idea is there's something better, we hope, because on this earth it just doesn't satisfy us. It's not what we wanted it to be. Well, thankfully, the Bible gives us glimpses of something that is far better, something that is available to every one of us in this room right now. Have you ever been to you've been to hotels, you've been to restaurants, and as you're going in, there'll be this rack of brochures. You've ever noticed those? It's put on by the tourism authority, whoever that may be, and there's always one for Rock City. I've never been to one anywhere in the world that doesn't have one for Rock City. Or maybe it's Dollywood, or maybe it's, whatever. They're wanting you to come and see what they've got. And so these brochures are there, and they kind of give you a brief idea, here's what you'll see. Well, we've got brochures in the Word of God. These brief glimpses of what heaven is going to be like. And let's look at a few of these, and I think you're going to say, wow, that sounds really good. Let's go all the way back in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 8. Now, this doesn't say heaven, but it sure leaves the impression there's something better to come. Genesis chapter 25 and verse 8 is talking about Abraham, great man of faith, a man of God. And listen to what it says about when he died. Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to all his people. That's interesting, isn't it? When he died, he was gathered to all his people. You find that same phrase a few other times in the Old Testament as well. And what does that mean to you? It means to me, well, I'm going to go somewhere where I'm going to rejoin people of my past. We used to have family reunions in my family. And those were big occasions, and there would be a lot of people there I hadn't seen for a long time. And we'd drive up, and there's Uncle so-and-so, and there's Aunt so-and-so, and Cousin so-and-so, and wow, this is great. I was gathered to my people. Well, this is talking about death. Abraham died, and he was gathered to his people. Is there anything to that? Or is that just a nice way of saying he died? Well, let's read on. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. 2 Samuel chapter 12 verse 23. And as you know, David and Bathsheba had a son. This was a son that was conceived out of wedlock. But the son was born and they were happy. And now the son had been stricken with illness. And it didn't look good. And so for days, David fasted, David prayed, praying that God would save his son, would deliver him out of this. And then the day came, the son died. And immediately David got up, he washed his face, put on proper clothing, and he went and ate. And they were saying, what's all the difference here? While your son was still alive, you were fasting and mourning, and now you're okay. Here's how David explained it in 2 Samuel 12, 23. Now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? But here's the good part. I shall go to him, but he will not return to me. I will go to him. Now David, a man after God's own heart, a man often inspired by God to write things that we now read today, he said, I will go to my son who is now dead. Again, is that saying that there's going to be a great homecoming one day? Well, again, let's go on. Let's go to the book of Luke in the New Testament. Everything really brightens up in the New Testament because Jesus really showed us what heaven and immortality is like. But in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, some of his disciples were excited. You know, we're able to cast out demons. And Jesus said this in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And what does that mean? Have you ever made reservations for a hotel or a camping spot? The Moffitts, Ken and Judy are camping this weekend. That shows how dedicated they are to coming back. But did you ever make a reservation for a room, a camping spot, or whatever, or a table at a restaurant? What does that mean? When I get there, it'll be waiting for me. It will be waiting for me. And Jesus said, your names are written in heaven. Now, you're not in heaven yet, but your names are written there. You're going to be there one day. That's good news. And it helps me to look at the idea of getting older and eventually dying. That helps me a lot because there's something better waiting for me beyond this life. Go to John chapter 14. This was read to us earlier. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, Ezra read this and did very well in that. John 14, one of our favorite passages in all of the Bible, I think, where Jesus made this beautiful promise. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Jesus is going to take us to that place he is preparing for us. And where is that? In my Father's house. That's where I'm going to be. That's where you're going to be. I'm going to come and take you there myself, Jesus said. And so will there be a homecoming? That's what the Bible teaches. And we're talking here about God's people, those who are followers of Christ. They have this hope of rejoining loved ones who also were in Christ and many others that we've never met before. All these people we've talked about that were at the beginning of this congregation, I didn't know them, but I will. I will know them, and I got a lot of questions for them, and I'm going to rejoice with them as I think they'll rejoice with me. But there will be that homecoming. And just again, to get us a little more pumped up, do we need to be more pumped up? Let's go to Revelation 21. Revelation 21, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. And in case you're not aware, this is what that land is like that we're going to. This beautiful place called heaven. Revelation 21, beginning in verse 1. John wrote, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That says it's going to be beautiful. Have you ever seen a bride coming down the aisle that wasn't just radiant and beautiful? She's coming as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Now, really, you read that again and tell me, you don't want to be in a place like that. I'll say you're crazy. You'd have to be crazy to say, I don't want to be in a place like that. You know, God is there, and there's not going to be any night. It'll always be daylight, and there's no death, there's no pain, there's no crying, no pain. I want to go there. Absolutely, I want to go there. And that's why we have this book called the Bible, is to help us get there. The Bible tells us, here's the way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You're not going to go to the Father except by me, but I'm here to help you. And praise God, there will be that wonderful homeland that we're all going to and have a homecoming one day. We don't sing this song anymore. I hate that, but Tillett S. Tedley published this song in 1932. And let me just read a few of the words because this is the way we ought to be thinking. This is what we ought to be growing into more and more. Earth holds no treasures, but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I'm going. Heaven holds all to me. Why should I long for the world with its sorrows, when in that home or the sea, millions are singing the wonderful story? Heaven holds all to me. Heaven holds all to me. Brighter its glory will be. Joy without measure will be my treasure. Heaven holds all to me. Is that how I think? Is that really how I think? That I'm really looking forward to heaven. Now, when we first start out, we think about it now and then. As we go further down the path, we think about it more. When loved ones go on before us, we really begin thinking of it more and more. And now, let that be our way of thinking, that heaven holds all to me. Now, the second part of this lesson is, how does this help us? Talking about a homecoming, talking about a beautiful place, how does that help us? It ought to motivate us. And again, we're talking about hope that motivates. And if this is a realistic hope, how does that motivate me? And I want to share with you three ways. They're all very simple. You could even think of them yourself. But here they are in the Word of God. Let's talk about them briefly, how this hope of a homecoming motivates us. Number one, let us keep our focus upward. Let us keep our focus upward. Do you know where your focus is? If I were to ask you right now, what is it you're focused on in your life? You'd say, well, I don't really know. How do I know what it is? There's some very simple measures. For example, what do you daydream about? You know, a daydream where you're thinking, well, if I could only do this, what do you daydream about? Or when you have a little extra time, what do you do with that time? Is it all about this earth and the things of this earth? Or does it occasionally and often get into God's word and then serving the Lord? Or when you've got extra money, what do you do with that extra money? Do you spend it on earthly pleasures, or do you help others and share what you have with others? You see, those are ways of measuring, where is my focus? Am I only looking at this life? Now, it's not wrong to look at this life, some, but if it's everything we do, that's not good. Let me take you to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Paul said, if then you have been raised with Christ. Now back in chapter 2, he had talked about being buried with Christ in baptism. And so now he's talking about being raised with Christ. That's what he's saying here. You've been raised up from your dead state of sin. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Notice that last part. You will appear with him in glory, meaning in heaven, in that wonderful land where all the saints are going to gather for eternity. You'll be there. And what does it take to get there? He said, set your minds on things above. And make Christ your life. The things of this world are not our life. They cannot satisfy us. They will not save us. But Christ can do both. He can satisfy us. He can save us. He loves us immensely. And so let us keep our focus upward. Here's a second way that the hope of a homecoming can motivate us. In addition to keeping our focus upward, we're to keep sowing to the Spirit. Keep on sowing to the Spirit. Now, when I say sowing, I'm talking about planting seed. That's the idea that we find in the passage that we'll be looking at in Galatians 6. But keep on sowing to the Spirit. And that means that, let's think about it in another way. Let's say right now you're young, middle-aged, whatever, and you're thinking, you know, when I get into my golden years, I want to have enough money to live comfortably, to live adequately. I want to make sure I don't have anything that I cannot provide for myself. How are you going to get there? You got to keep on sowing money along the way. You got to put a little aside, and the more often you do it, the better it's going to be. You got to be dedicated to that. in the same way, in a stronger way. If we want to have that homecoming, we have to keep sowing to the Spirit. Galatians 6, let's go there now and look at verses 7 and 8. Verses 8 and 9. Galatians 6, verses 8 and 9. The one who sows to his own flesh, that is, that's what we do most all the time. I'm only thinking about my flesh, what I feel like doing, what I have this desire to do. I'm only thinking about my flesh. The one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. That's not good. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Eternal life. Heaven. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. And so we've got to make it our mindset. I'm in this for the long haul. I'm going to keep on running all the way, because if I ever stop, then I will not reach that. If I ever say, well, I'm done with this, I've been a Christian long enough, I'm going to go to do the things I've always wanted to do. Well, then you've not been a Christian if you've always wanted to do sinful things. But you see, if we keep sowing to the Spirit, we're going to reap that eternal life. And here's the third thing that we learn about how hope can motivate us, that hope for a homecoming, and that is, let us be steadfast until the Lord returns. Let us be steadfast until the Lord returns. Some of you have done some hiking in the mountains around us, and you know some of these trails can get pretty strenuous, and you think, I can't keep on doing this. I've got to go back. I'm going to leave the path and just go on back home. But the thing that keeps me going is knowing, well, there's a waterfall just another mile ahead or half a mile, whatever it may be, just knowing there's something spectacular that is awaiting me, that keeps me going. Otherwise, I'd just say, well, I can't do it, not gonna do anymore, I'm done. But knowing there is a homecoming ahead helps us to be steadfast. Let's go to James. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we're gonna look at verse 12 there, and James has something to say about being steadfast. He says in James chapter 1 and verse 12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trials. A trial is a difficulty that arises in life. It may be an illness, it may be a job that's taken from us, it may be a lot of different things. And we say, why give up? I mean, why keep going? This Christianity isn't helping me any. James says, be steadfast, even when you're going through a trial. Why? He says, blessed is the man that remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life. He'll receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Remember, there is something ahead of you that will be far more worthwhile than anything you can have on this earth. And so we're told to keep on, be steadfast, don't give up. And then go to chapter 5 of the same book, James chapter 5, and look at verses 7 and 8. James 5, 7 and 8, where he says there, be patient therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. Now, I suspect almost all of us have planted seeds at one time or another. I used to garden. I would plant a row of beans, and then later in the day, I'd get my basket out and go out to pick. No, it doesn't work that way. You got to be patient. You plant the beans, and then you wait a couple of months, and then if all things are right, you know, you've done your job, the Lord has done his job, then you're going to be able to pick beans. You've got to be patient. And that's what James is saying there. Then in verse 8, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. The coming of the Lord. Now, when he says at hand, that doesn't mean immediately. But it is going to happen. And when it happens, it will happen suddenly. There will be no time. Oh, wait, Lord, I'm not ready yet. Give me a little more time. It won't happen like that. He will come immediately. And it's either, am I ready or not? because the Lord is coming. And so the idea is this hope for a homecoming will motivate us. It will help us to keep our focus upward, heavenly treasures. It will keep us sowing to the Spirit. It will help us to be steadfast until the Lord returns. Yes, this is a very practical matter. On this homecoming weekend, we've already talked about a number of people, some of whom we have known. Last night we looked at some photos of members that have been a part of our family that, you know, a lot of us knew, and now they're gone. Some of them just recently, and that hurts. But that pain is softened by knowing we're going to see them again. If I continue living in the Lord, I'll see them again, I'll be with them, and that certainly helps a lot. And so God's promises are sure. He is faithful. And I would urge us all to put our faith in God and to follow him all the days of our lives. Let's keep this congregation going faithfully, and that happens when we follow the Lord. Are you a part of this church? Would you like to be a part of this church or the Lord's church generally? It's not about us, it's about him. And so if you're not yet a member of his church, we urge you to do what the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 did. They believed what they heard. Peter had been telling them about how Jesus was the Son of God and you killed him. And they said, what do we do? We believe now what you say. What do we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those terms have not changed over 2,000 years. And this morning, if you've not submitted to the gospel in that way, we urge you to come and do just that. If as a child of God, you've not been faithful on the path because Satan is always out to pull us off the path, then today is the day to come and say, I have sinned. I need the prayers of my brethren to be forgiven. If we can help you in any way, if you have questions, if you'd just like to talk more about what we've talked about today, let's talk. But come and make your decision now if you need to as we stand together and sing.
Thank you.
seated.
Kenneth Harvey has come forward this morning asking for our prayers. Kenneth has been a part of our family now, I guess close to a year. He came back and asked to be rededicated to the church. And today he says, I'm just really struggling. I have not been in church for a month. I know that's not good. That's not right. And so I want to pray for forgiveness. I want to pray for strength and God's help to get me through these difficult times. I've talked to Ken a number of times, and I know his heart is good. I know it's right. He does face some difficulties in his life, but God is there for all of us, no matter what those difficulties may be. And so in a few moments, we're going to be praying that the Lord will forgive him, that he'll give him strength, and that all of us will come around and help him in any way that we can. We're also going to pray on behalf of the family of Daryl Coleman. Daryl was the brother-in-law of Janet Looney. Janet found out just before Sunday school this morning that he had passed away this morning. And I guess he lived up in the Pikeville area, Janet, somewhere up in that area. But anyway, we want to pray for his family and pray that they will be comforted and given the strength they need. And I know there's many other hearts among us that are hurting for one reason or another. And God knows your heart. God will bless you, I believe. But let's go to God right now on behalf of these two. Our Lord and our God in heaven, we are so thankful for all the blessings that you give us. They are so many. There's none greater than that of your Son, Jesus, who left heaven, put himself at risk, lived a perfect life, and then was willing to put that life on the cross for our sins. Father, we pray that we'll always be faithful to him because he is our Savior. He is the only Savior. And Father, this morning we want to pray on behalf of our brother Kenneth. Lord, he's had a difficult time and he's still going through struggles. But Father, at least give him the peace of knowing that you've forgiven him, and the strength to do better, that he'll be constant in his worship with you, with his family here, and that he will give you the honor that is due. Father, just bless Kenneth, we pray, and help us to do what we can to help him. And we want to pray, Lord, on behalf of the family of Daryl Coleman. We know their hearts are aching right now due to his passing this morning. We pray, Father, that you'll bless them. Bless those who will be traveling with safety, and may they all feel your peace and know that you're with them. Thank you, Father, again for this day, this special day that we're celebrating for this congregation, Lord. Keep on being with us, Lord, but more than that, help us to keep on being with you. Lord, you are faithful, and we thank you for that, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Before we partake of the Lord's Supper, we'll be singing hymn number 315. 315.
Thank you. morning. As we prepare for communion, if you need a communion set, please raise your hand and we can get some to you. Down front here, Randy. Thank you, sir. And anybody else, raise your hand, raise them high so we can see. While Randy's passing those out, me and Amy and Evelyn got to go to a friend's house yesterday where they had some newborn baby lambs there, and that put me in mind of a passage from Revelation that I wanted to speak about this morning. The Apostle John has this vision in Revelation, and he is transported to the very throne room of God, and God is surrounded by these incredible creatures who can see anything, go anywhere, do anything, and he's surrounded by the elders of the people, and it's this incredible scene. And God is holding in his hand, though, this scroll that holds hope and basically the fate and hope of the universe, but no one can open it. And so John starts to weep. But one of the elders comes to him and says, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." But John doesn't see a lion or one of these incredible creatures come up and open the scroll. He sees, "And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. And soon after that, not only all of them, but the whole world and all creation falls down and worships this lamb. And here's what they say about him: Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." What a privilege it is this morning that we get to take this communion together and remember Jesus Christ, the Lamb who has brought us together. So let's open the bread portion. We'll say a prayer for that. Father in heaven, we are so thankful that we as one family, one kingdom, can take this communion together and remember that we are one because of what your Son did, the sacrifice that he made, giving his own body and blood to establish this kingdom and make us all one in you, Father. Thank you for that. It's in his name we pray. Amen. If you'd like, you can go ahead and open the juice portion of your communion set. And we'll give thanks for that as well. Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the blood of your Son, the blood of the Lamb that redeems us from our sins. Lord, thank you for Jesus and for him so willingly offering up his own blood to cleanse us Lord, we're so thankful that we have that cleansing thanks to your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. And as we think about this scene that is recorded in Revelation, and as we think about the offering, the taking up of the offering, or of us determining what to give to the Lord, you know, we have lots of ways to do that, boxes in the back for financial sorts of things, but also please remember all the other ways that God has called us to give. And when we think about this, you know, what don't we owe to our Lord and Savior? So let's offer up a prayer for that as well. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Lord, as we decide what to give back to him, help us to remember he gave all for us. And Lord, thank you so much for that. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Our Father and God, as we come before you just now, we're thankful for this opportunity that's been given us to gather in your name, study your word, dear God, to consider our positions in life and what we can do to not only help ourselves, but to help our fellow man. I pray, dear God, for those in this congregation and those we're aware of that are suffering from the loss of loved ones, how that pain endures. We pray, dear God, for your blessings of comfort. We're mindful of these that are facing medical challenges and their families. We pray for the health care providers, dear God, that they would bring about plans that would bring about effective healing and bring relief so that these members may return to their much-desired walk of life. We know, dear God, that there are those within the reach of my voice this morning that are struggling with the mind, that have emotional issues, dear God, that are in dire need of our prayers, our help, in our consideration. Help us to be mindful of opportunity that presents itself to show our concerns. We pray, dear God, for your blessings on the meal. We're thankful for it that we're about to receive downstairs. We pray, dear God, that all things would be done in a manner that is acceptable and pleasing unto you. And we ask for the blessings of safe travels. We soon leave this place. This prayer offered in Christ's name. Amen. Saturday, May 10th, helpers are needed to assemble gift bags and fold brochures for our prison ministry. And by the way, if you're a returning guest here, I encourage you to look at the bulletin board in the back about the involvement ministry and the many works that are involved here and the many things that are being accomplished here. Those to assist in the prison ministry will meet in the children's wing at 9:30 a.m., on Saturday, May 10th. If you can assist, please let Catherine Albertson know. VBS, helpers are needed for our Living Bible School, Walking with the Prophets. Adult and teenage volunteers are needed to help this Bible school special. VBS will take place on the evenings of June 22nd through Wednesday, June 25th. Please see the available sign up in the foyer. Please see Josh Johnson if you can help. Our Hispanic brethren are hosting a gathering on Saturday, May the 17th. Assistance is requested to watch children as the adults attend these sessions. If you have questions, if you would like to volunteer, please contact Hugo, and he's seated in here this morning. And his contact information is also available in our instant directory. For the meal, please allow our guest to go through the line for our fellowship meal first. And parents, please be sure to go through the line with your children. On behalf of the Central Haywood Church of Christ, we want to thank you for your generous donations. This is flood relief, disaster response. With your help, we were able to help hundreds of people. Medical supplies, cleaning supplies, baby supplies, heaters, generators, bedding, kitchen supplies, clothing, gift cards, food, water, and even toys for the children at Christmas were able to be distributed from this our church building. Thank you again for your love and support. The Central Haywood Church of Christ, Clyde, North Carolina. Remember these in your prayer. Louise, mother of Andy, is in rapidly declining health and is under hospice care. Wilda has asked that we remember her in our prayers. Eric has been hospitalized for the last few weeks with pneumonia. He's a regular in our Bible classes and worship at the Watauga Square Apartments. He often worships with us at Central on the third Sunday of the month. The father of a friend of Caleb Gerard is hospitalized after suffering a punctured lung during an inmate attack on six correction officers at the Wallens Ridge Federal Penitentiary located in Big Stone. The officer's in stable condition, but Caleb has asked that we pray for healing. Please meet downstairs and let's have a fellowship meal. You're dismissed. Thank you.